Sometimes it's really hard to tell we're made in God's image, the way we act and react to situations. So we're going to look at that today, a pattern that God has shown us in how we can act and behave so we will truly look like children of God. Everybody got your Bible today? Ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Genesis 1. This has been interesting to me, and we talked a little bit about it this morning in our prayer meeting. But last week, you remember, we stopped, and we'll just review each week. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And we talked about last week, in the Hebrew it literally means He was brooding over, but it also said He was relaxed, to be relaxed. And so, remember we talked about He's got a chaotic mass, the Bible calls it, mud and water and water on the outside of that, and then He turns the light on. But He was okay with that. And remember what we taught you last week was this from creation. You can have a chaotic mess or mass and be okay. It doesn't have to be. Some of you just need to learn how to stop stressing when you're in a chaotic mess. You don't have to get caught up in that. In fact, it's the worst thing you can do. Best thing you can do is just keep calm and pray and ask for wisdom and direction, and that is been granted to us through the power of our Father as we're made in His image. The first thing He shows us is how relaxed and what good things is coming because He's not... Aren't you glad it didn't say, and God created the heaven and earth and it was without form and void and the darkness on the face of the deep, and God stressed and panicked and said, what are we going to do, guys? And the angels all flurried with worry and they just said, let's go home for today. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? Huh? I'm glad it doesn't say that. God says there's the first day, however long that day was, and some say it's a day, some maybe 1,000 years, but however long that day was, it was a day, and He called it good after He turned the light on. Now, here's what I want to look at today, and it says in verse 3, God said. That is the repeated pattern in the creation. God said, God said, God said, God said. And how many knows we're like God in that respect where we're going to say something every day? You know, and just, you can write it down. Every day, we've got something to say. Now, some of you are a few words, and God bless you that are a few words every day. Because the rest of us has got a lot of accountability to give. But some of you that, you know, you say, you just have to drag it out. Like an old joke I heard about this woman, her husband's name was George. She said, George, do you think I'm pretty? He said, yep. Said, George, do you still love me with all your heart? He said, yep. Said, George, do you think I'm the most beautiful woman you ever... He said, yep. She said, oh, George, you say the most beautiful things. Some of you are like George, you know. You don't have many words to say, and that's good because how many knows the Bible says in Matthew, we're going to give account for what? Every idle word, and that word idle means every unemployed word. They don't have ownership. They're not really working words. They're worthless, useless, it says. Unemployed words, and a lot of us give those out. I was in a scenario, and I'll tell you a little bit about it in a minute, but there's a lot of unemployed words flying around in my neighborhood. And so watch the pattern, and I want us to pick this up and get it in our spirit today. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was. And so he says, and there was. And so He's not just saying something that's not going to come about. And how many knows the Bible said that life and death are in the power of the tongue? Proverbs. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And every week, we're speaking life or death. You ever had me just give you a good tongue lashing? You know, now sometimes that can be life, can it? In fact, I've got some things I have to say at our next homeowners meeting that won't be pleasant because of the way that some people's reacted. But it will be life-giving. it will be life-giving. And so not everything that we, life-giving thing that we say is pleasant, but it is, it's taking something that's out of order and it's bringing it into order. It's good. And so the first thing he did, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And in fact, I don't think, and we talked a little bit about this morning, what kind of light this was. It wasn't the sun or the moon, because he's not yet, you look in verse 14, and he's gonna create light at that time. So this is my theory, and I don't know if it's a good one or not, but, you know, scientists say that there was like a glowing lava and it took place for this earth to be formed, and it shoved mountains up together when the continents came together and land masses came together. And I thought, well, maybe that was the first light that he created, was just that glow. Like I've seen a reproduction of what they thought it would look like on video, and it's just glowing with lava and things. And I thought, well, maybe that's the first fire. Because here's when God said, let there be light, and I got to thinking about this. If God was here, God didn't need light, because God is light. You know, last week we read about the city. Remember the city? And it said, in the city of God, there's not going to be any more sea, no more beaches. I think we'll have beaches on other planet and seas and all that. But in the city of God, there's no beaches. And in this particular area, no sea. But it said there was no need for sun or moon because Jesus or God is the light of that city. And so I got to thinking, well, if God is here and he's present, why would he need light? Well, he needs light for when he's not present. How many knows this is just one galaxy? And I think that's one of the coolest things about going to heaven. We're going to get to explore, I think, and run other galaxies. And some of these Star Wars things like Lucas and all them create, I'm not so sure they're far off that we might see. And if they are, they won't be weird and spooky and all that, I don't think, because that's not God. But I think we're going to just be blown away by what we can see and air travel. Remember when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise? In other words, he's going to be kind of like, beam me up, Scotty. We'll be translated from here to paradise, or that's what they were that day. And I think when we go, and that's why I said, I don't know if it's a good thing about these genes to have all these genes for longevity, because Paul put it like this, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And so I know how much good stuff he has. And then when Janice said, you've got genes that you'll probably live for a long time. And I thought, boy, living for a long time and already got aches and pains. And then aches and pains without Jana? Man. So I don't know. So, you know, that didn't sound good to me. But I'm ready for heaven. I'm ready to see and experience life without pain, and I'm ready to see all that he's created for us, because he said it's better than we can ask or think. And how many can think and ask some great things? Yeah. So, but watch this pattern. He says, so God saw. And that's a pattern that's throughout this creation. God said, and then it was so. There's something happened. There's an action. Faith without works is dead. And so he speaks this into existence. And there's some kind of work. There's some kind of action. It doesn't say how God created all this. We think it's mystical and he just spoke and it appeared. I don't know how he did it. And it was an awesome work to take all this stuff and make earth and just hang it on nothing. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? If you don't, try it yourself and see how far you get. Yeah, try this one on for size. Try to get a big fireball like the sun and just light it up and hang it out there in the atmosphere or somewhere out in space and just say, now you stay right there until further notice. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it? And so this is what he did. And he creates some sort of light, but he God said and God saw, and that it was good. And so this is the third thing he did. God said, God saw, and there was actions. And then the third thing I want you to get is he commented. He made a comment about what he said and what it had produced, and then he makes a comment. And I got to thinking, what if we lived our lives that way, where every time we said something, we would look at that and see where it's going. And we'd see what it was doing, and then we would comment. Oh, that's a good thing. I mean, every word that we give, that's a pattern that he developed this universe with, this planet and us. Is he said and he saw there was actions, and he was witnessing what he had, what his words had created, and then he was commenting on it. And he thinks you'd have a great comment every time you said something and you saw it and then you seen what it produced. There'd be times when we'd have to repent, wouldn't we? You know, because we've lost our temper. Like Jana was saying, when he said I wasn't perfect, well, she disagreed with him. Now, how many know she knows that Jana's not perfect? You know that, right? She's not perfect. So, and none of us in this room is perfect. That's why we needed Jesus Christ. That's why we needed Christ. But just to think about the pattern, and let's go ahead and look at the story. And verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God what? Said. God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. In other words, he's looking at what was done. God said and God saw what was done. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I did notice something. In this chaotic mass, there's something that's worth noting here. He doesn't call it good. The only thing he calls good about up until this third day, he's going to start saying, and it was good. The only thing he calls good that was in this particular happening was the light. It's the only thing he said. And there's a lesson in there that we need to pick up. We don't need to call something bad good. Here's something I've noticed that's changed over the years, and I'm not, you know, saying it's terrible, but I'm not sure the principle is good. Anymore, when we have sports, they don't want to have a competitive spirit, so everybody gets a trophy for showing up. Have you noticed that in Little League? Everybody gets a trophy. When I was growing up, if you won, you got a trophy. If you didn't, you go home. Now, you might get a pat on the back for good try and all that stuff, but you didn't get a trophy. Because you didn't do good, really. Now, I've seen parents take that to the extreme, and I can remember when my son was little and playing t-ball, and it was kind of hilarious, and it was really sad, but our kids were in a tournament, and the kids were doing well, and the parents said, if you all win today, we're going to take you for pizza and ice cream. And so we won a game, and they won a game, and then the other team won the final in the three best out of three. And some of the parents just said, come on, we're going home. Now, we went ahead and fed them pizza. We're going to feed them something anyway. Because, you know, they made it to the last two and they didn't get a trophy back then. But you know, we let them know we'll reward your efforts. But some of them took it so serious and just joked, you know, come on, we're going home. So there's a balance in there. But I just thought it was cool that God didn't say the chaotic mass. He didn't look at it and say, oh, that's good, isn't it? And so I'm not saying that God's character, when he says something and he comments on it, it's not always good. We don't have to be a positive confession always. There's a song that I like, the Zac Brown Band, and they've got a song, and it's called I'm Free. It would have been a good song for today. And in the words of that song, it says, well, I don't have a lot of money. Well, I don't have a lot of money. And it's real good harmony. And Jan said, that's just a negative part of that song, isn't it? And I said, no, because we don't have a lot of money. And we're still free, honey. And we don't have a lot of money. And I know what she's talking about. But how many could just sing that along with them? We don't have a lot of money. How many knows when that little fall? And that's why I showed Jack that dad and his kid yesterday out on the street just saying, woo! You know, free. It was free. Every time somebody drove by, here's a free splash, you know, in Jesus or something. Because you don't have to have a lot of money to have fun and be free. Okay? But God didn't call, and you don't have to call something that's a mess. You don't have to call it good. But what we should say is every time there's light shed on something that's negative, we should call that good. We should call something good because God is hovering. We should call something good because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. We should call it good because God said we're going to win in the end. That's good. And so we still have things to shout about. But he didn't say you have to go to the extreme that some of the faith teachers teach and call everything good and, you know, never confess any, you know. I'm a positive person, but I'm just saying it's not always in your positive confession. Be a positive, uplifting person, but you don't have to call something terrible good. And so verse 6, he says, God said, let there be firmament. And so he goes through all that. And then verse 9, God said, again, let the waters be under the heavens and gather together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gatherings together, the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So for the first time, he looks at the whole picture and he says, now, that's good. Now we're getting order. Now we're getting structure. Now we're putting things into perspective. I've got a place for my living creatures, and it's separated by the waters, and now it's looking like something, and he called it good. I'm afraid in America, the things that we've been blessed with, we don't call it good because we want something more. Are you with me? I've seen the trend in our country that I don't like, and that's it. Instead of calling good what we have, we'll think, boy, this is something, but this is not really what I want. I want this. And there's like an uncontentment inside of us as Americans that I think is unhealthy, because we're wanting something else. We're wanting bigger, we're wanting more, we're wanting whatever. But he looked at what he had without man, without living creatures on it yet, and he said, I've got some order here. That's good. That is good. And so he's bringing order to it. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and that's not marijuana for all you that raised in the 70s. Look, man, grass. God said, bring forth grass. Weed, yeah. The herb that yields its seed and the fruit that yields its according to its kind, whose seed is in itself in the earth, and so it was so. And I may do that because there's something there. You notice he didn't plan. He brought forth what was there. And up to this time, isn't it interesting that all that was a chaotic mass, but all of a sudden we find out there's some good stuff that in there he's calling forth out of the chaotic mass. So we'll look at that in another message, because that's some good stuff. That's stuff that's already in you, that by design, that's put in you, and it's pretty exciting. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herbs that yields seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Are you with me? You need to look. I need to look and see what is good in our life and recognize it and verbalize it. I'm telling you, it'll change your perspective. What we're having today is good. See, that's what excites us, like when Addie was sitting in her little lawn chair that day after we went home from church, and we had fed her lunch, and then we went in the pool for a while, and then we gave her ice cream, and she's kicked back there in her little hair sweat, and she's in her bathing suit eating ice cream, and it's dripping. She said, this has been a good Sunday. I thought, we need to be like Addie. This is a good Sunday. You're here, and you look good, and you're healthy enough to be here and to experience this day, and it's a good Sunday to say this is good. You know, I could be in the hospital, I could be unhealthy or going through more than I am, and so look at the good, because if we look at what's bad, and all of us have something to deal with, then it's gonna change our thinking and change our attitude that we should have, that it should be grateful attitude for being where we are and who we are. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, see the pattern? Let there be lights in the firmament and heavens, and divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heavens, and to give light on the earth. And it was so. In other words, he's looking at it. He's got it. It's produced. He said it, and he saw it again. And then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is the sun, and he hangs it there and commands it to burn, and someday the Bible said in Matthew it will go out, but today it burns. And the lesser light to rule the night, he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament and of the heavens to give light on earth and to rule over the day and over the night. And then he put it just at the right distance so it don't burn us up and our planet doesn't freeze. And we just sit there and rotate around and everything's in order, because God has spoke to this chaotic mass, and all of a sudden now he's looked at every step along the way and he said, I've spoke it and it's good. And he was sure to comment when it was good. And that's what I want us to get. I want us to comment when it's good. And I want us to comment when that was not so good. That was not so good. to distinguish what, and we're, and all we're doing is we're going to be aware now of speaking life or not, because we're speaking something every day. When we make a sharp little remark, we're speaking something that's just got a little essence of death in it. A sharp, idle word, an unemployed word that just it comes off the tongue. In fact, James says it this way, that this little tongue can poison and destroy the whole body. So not only is what we say and what we're looking at here when he's saying it's good and he's creating life and he's putting order to disorder, what he's saying is, it comes back to us. That's what makes God God, is he's saying good stuff. And we can depend on God to say good stuff. As a dad, can your children depend on you to say good stuff? As a mom, can your children depend on you to say good stuff? Or are they hear you and dad cutting each other's words? Because I'll tell you what, it's not just about when I cut Jana with the word, it's not just about that word going to her, it's destroying my body. But when I say something good and uplifting to her, one of the greatest discoveries I've made in the last few years is who I really am and what I really love to do. And one of the things is to take walks with Jana in the sunshine. And when I shared that with my wife, that was a huge blessing to her. She said that I don't know how many times since I revealed to her, this is one of the greatest joys of my life, is to take a walk with her in the sunshine. I love the sunshine. I said, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be a sun worshiper. And that's bad with a guy that's light-skinned and got skin cancers, because I'd be worshiping the thing that's killing me. But I just like the sun. How many just loves the sunshine? Isn't it cool? God put it there for you to enjoy, so don't worry about over-enjoying the sun. You know, just take care of your skin. But he put that there for us to enjoy and to bask in, and it's a gift that he gave. And when he said to go and replenish the earth and enjoy that, that's just something he put in order for us. Verse 19, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, cross the face of the firmament of the heavens. And God created this great sea and creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, God saw that it was good. God said, God saw, God commented. It's a pattern. God said, God saw, God commented. Learn to comment. And you don't have to do it verbally, but just learn to take a mental note and a comment on what you just said. Is it giving light? Is it bringing resolution? Is it bringing order to chaos? What is what you just said doing? I think part of our inventory will be happy, and part of our inventory will think, my goodness, I didn't know I was that negative. Are you with me? And in verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, let the birds multiply on the earth. Now, I'm not so sure, but this may be where the prehistoric animals came in at this point. Just a thought. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God said, verse 24, let the earth bring forth living according to its kind, cattle creeping on the beast, creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. God said, God saw. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. You just wonder who makes creeps on the earth? It's God. So be careful about saying something about a creep on the earth. God made them. Literally. He made them. I don't care who it is and what you think of them. Be careful what you say. Because God, they are God's creation. In fact, He made your first grandpa out of dirt. So just remember where you came from. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man. And I think this is where this is his finale. This is what he's waiting for. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and sea, of the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we have the power and authority over all the creeps, so quit worrying about it. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, each person on this planet is made in the image of God. You ever had anybody say, you look just like God? No? I had a person tell me, you think you're God, don't you? I said, I am what I am. No, I just, I wish I had a thought and said that, but she was really upset. Then God blessed them, verse 28, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, sea of the air, the birds of the air, everything that creep, that moves on the earth. God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed in the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, you shall to you it shall be food. And then verse 30, also to every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. God saw, and I love what he says, God saw everything that he made. God said, God saw, and he's going to comment, and indeed, it was very good. I don't know if you took it that way, but God just gave you a compliment. He looked at you after everything he had made and said, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. And he made you and he said, oh, that's very good. That's very good. And if you've had children, you'll know how he felt. It's like, we produced that. Look at that. I'll never forget when Jakey was born, he was kind of pale and he had little splotches on his nose. And I loved him. He was what we created. Jan and I created. I ruined his good look genes, but I loved him. But I thought, look at him. And I said, boy, he's not very pretty, is he? Boy, and I thought my mom and her mother's going to just flog me like a chicken or something. You know? I said, well, I love him, my son. I'm just saying, look at his little face. He's got all his pimples and stuff, you know. But inside, you know, when you create that, or then you have grandkids that, you know, has come through your lineage, and that's wonderful. I think that's how God felt. And you'll not understand that till you have children and grandchildren, but there's something that when you create that, it's like, it's very good, isn't it? Very good. And of course, this is before the fall and all, but it was very good. And it says, so the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Of the sixth day. Now, here's what I want to leave you with. Everything we do, we're saying something. And how many knows a lot of the things that were said is just up here? We keep them up here and we won't release them. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's something going over and over in your heart and mind, you're saying it. And it's affecting you. Here's something we do. And when we get upset with somebody, we won't talk to them. We'll just let it roll. You ever done that? Just let it roll. And I'll tell you, it becomes poison to your body, the Bible says. And what we need to do, instead of letting it roll up here and poison our body, we need to take heed to what God just taught us in His Word. And we need to say it, and we need to look at it and see what it's producing, and then confess what is it producing and be honest about it. And if it's not good, we need to recognize this is not from God, because everything from God is good. And I'm telling you, this is a powerful lesson He taught us from creation. Everything we're saying verbally or in our head and mind, and we're rehearsing. We rehearse, we rehearse, we rehearse. And that's where we stress and worry and get ulcers and all kind of bad health, is from rehearsing stuff that we shouldn't be rehearsing and saying things in our mind that we shouldn't be saying and entertaining it. How many knows He come to give us freedom? Jesus said, I come that you may be free. He's come to give us freedom today. And I want you to just track with me as I close. Just stop and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to keep saying things that is just stressing me out without solutions, without some kind of a good resolve. God just showed us in His Word that, you know what? This is how God operates, and this is why God is relaxed in the midst of chaotic mess, is because he's saying things that's going to produce a good end. Last week in our homeowners association, our addition, as you drive into our addition, there's a house on the left-hand side corner right in the front, and it's got a blue roof. It's the only house in our addition with a blue roof. When that roof was going up, one of the guys that builds in there came and stopped the crew from roofing that house, throwing a fit. Another lady in our addition came up and was yelling at them, they said, and screaming and ordering, demanding numbers. And you'd have thought Satan just entered our addition. And everybody that was screaming in concern, and then we were bombarded with calls, and finally my secretary said, "Jack, can you please shoot out an email and let people know what's going on? They're just wearing us out." Over a roof that's blue. Now, we have covenants and restrictions in our edition. How many knows in this book we have covenants and restrictions? Just like this book, we have those in our edition. And you say, "Well, I'd hate to be a part of your edition." Well, don't move in our edition. But everybody that moves in, mostly should, and if they don't, they will find out there is covenants and restrictions. When I moved in, I'm from the country, and I'm used to having stuff around my house if I want it, and so I backed my trailer up in the driveway for a few days. I wasn't going to leave it there, but I left it for a few days while we were getting settled in case I had to put something back on it, and then I got a letter. No trailers under section such and such of our covenants and restrictions. So I removed the trailer. And I like that, because there'd be other old boys like me that have other bigger trailers and ratty trailers, and that's what our addition would look like. And then, not long after that, I got another letter. You cannot have your trash cans out where they're showing from the street. I said, "Well, that's a terrible thing." Well, I don't think it really is. Because, some people just leave them right in the front door. I think it's a good thing. So I just put I didn't have a fence yet, so I just put my trash cans in my garage. Because it's in the covenant and restrictions. Did you know God said you need to take a wife and you need to keep your sexual activity inside the bounds of holy matrimony? You think He's trying to keep everybody from having fun that's not married? I don't. I think He's trying to keep hearts from being broken and disease from spreading. And that's just one covenant restriction. He's saying don't overeat. I give you plenty, but don't eat it in one setting. He said, "You can have a glass of wine, but don't get drunk. Drunkards won't make the kingdom of heaven. Because drunkenness is not good for your body." I mean, He put all kinds of covenants, and then He gives commands and all these things because it's what's good for us. Are you with me? And so when He gives us instructions and He gives us an example to say, when I'm speaking as the Creator, when I speak to something, it's good. I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to comment on it, and I'm going to say it's good or it's not good. He's given us a valuable tool to use so we can examine everything that comes out of our mouth. And I think it'll just help me to say, you know what, and here's what I know. I had one lady come to my door. "You are hard to get a hold of. Do you know there's a roof going up here?" And I tried to say, "And they are finishing that roof today." And I said, "If they don't finish that roof and it rains, guess who's going to be accountable? You are." See, I'm gonna do some splaining when we get to our homeowners meeting. And I'm going to tell them this. If you come in as a homeowner and you stop construction or you do something and there's a lawsuit, you are on your own. You know why I'm going to tell them that? Because with the board that we have set up, I'm the president, we have vice president and secretary treasurer, and we are all covered under insurance. So if we say something stupid, we're covered. How many knows if you're a part of this family, your name's written in the book of life, you've got some grace. If you don't, you're on your own. And so if you say something stupid, there's some blood and there's some insurance and there's some grace that's going to cover you. But if you don't, in fact, you're damned to hell. You know where I found those principles? Right from the Word of God. You know why it'll work? Because this morning I said for our prayer team, I said, "Pray for me because I got to have a conversation." And it won't be easy, but it's necessary. Because I said the next group of people come in and lead our homeowners association, they don't need to put up with what we put up with. And so I'm going to say it, and it's going to be to a chaotic mess, and it's going to create order. I'm going to see that it's good. I'm going to see it's good because my heart's good for them. They're my neighbors, and I love them. I'm not saying it because I'm haughty. I'm not saying it because I'm mad. I'm not mad. The lady that was on my porch that day, I said, "We're working fervently on this, resolving this issue, and that's all you need to know." I'm not explaining this to 15, 20 people right now. We're all volunteers here. And she says, "I'm sorry I upset you." And I said, I'm not upset. I'm just saying I'm not explaining it. You know, somebody says, "I don't want to explain something to you." Well, automatically you're upset, right? No, not necessarily. But I know I got to say what's good, and I need to examine it and make sure that it's good. and so do you. And if it's said with speak the truth in love, it says, and follow His commandments, because everything He's given us, He looks at it and He said, that's good. That's good for my children. That's good to create the world they're on. That's good for their daily living. Whatever I've said and said in here, it's good. And He examined it and He looked at it. And so let's take that and apply that to our lives. What am I saying? And what is it doing? And is it good? And be like our Father in heaven. Father, thank You for showing us in Your Word how we should be so attentive to all the words that we speak. God, You taught us that there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and we will give an account for every idle word. So I pray that You'll just help us take these simple little principles that You demonstrated to us from creation, where You said, You saw, You examined, and You commented. Help us to take up that practice in our own life and to use that. So we'll always be aware that what we're saying is either good or it needs to be re-said. It's always producing something good or it needs to be repented and refocused and done differently. Because we will make mistakes. We will say things at the moment or in jest that's not going to be good. But Holy Spirit, we ask You to come and to just create a new sensitivity in us. I'd rather give account today, Lord, than wait till I stand before You before I correct what needs to be corrected. So help us here today. And if there's those that's been convicted already of saying something, thinking something, and it's not godly things, it's not producing godly stuff, it's all about them and it's all about their feelings and it's all about their emotions, but they've been allowing this to go forward, I pray in Jesus' name today they'll repent. This not producing life in my marriage. This is not producing life in my friendship. This is not producing life with my friends. This is not producing maybe perhaps life with my church family. That today, Lord, it will stop. And they'll re-examine and say, God, what can I say that will produce life and what will produce good? So we can get back on track. And help us in those times, Lord, when we're not speaking life. Make us aware. So we can be like our Father. And we can produce good things as we speak life. We ask it in Jesus' name, for Your glory.